Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Your 5 to 9 news feed on News Radio WTAM 1100.
The deal boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Wills Ways to Save. Let's jumpstart your car with some savings, Granite.
It could be the most useful, most ingenious tech product of the season. Great to be with you. We all know about power banks and those portable chargers that some of us carry with us. Imagine one of those in your glove compartment that could jumpstart any vehicle and also notify emergency dispatch. Complete with an SOS notification mode that makes you visible from several miles away. The Smart iClever portable car, boat, and truck jump starter will make sure if you ever run into an emergency situation that you can leave and exit with the press of a button. Powerful enough to jumpstart your smartphone and charge it faster than a wall outlet, compact enough for the glove compartment, there is no more waiting for a towing company or AAA. One power bank fits all. From a car to RV, a tractor trailer, a small yacht, whatever it is you need jumpstarted, this will do it, complete with built-in strobe, LED flashlight, and SOS mode. This gadget, which is not a paid product, is waiting for you. Just click the link below or go to facebook.com/dealboss for a link to this and other great deals.
Thank you, Matt. See it at WTAM.com. Keyword save the deal boss, Matt Granite. Mike Snyder Sports Mornings, 15:45 pass. Your Tribe score. Here's Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Red Sox scored 3 runs off of Corey Kluber in the first 2 innings, but after that, he shut them down, and the Indians would battle back. Melky Cabrera, home run in the 5th to make it a 3-1 game. Then in the 6th, Michael Brantley ripped a 2-run shot. That tied it at 3, and then in the 7th, 2 outs, a runner on board, Greg Allen at the plate.
The next offering. And it swung on, hit high and hit deep to right field. This ball is going, gone to the bullpen. How about Greg Allen? That's how you make it a 13-game hitting streak. His second home run of the year. A 2-run bomb to the Indians' bullpen and right. And the Indians lead it 5-3 on their third home run off Rick Porcello in the last 3 innings.
Indians go on for a 5-4 win. Greg Allen. Now, Cody Allen had to go through a 28-pitch ninth inning. He did allow one run, but he got out of it to preserve the win for Kluber, his 16th. Now, Corey had to settle down after the first 2 innings, as Terry Francona said.
And then he settled down and kept him off the scoreboard and allowed us to, you know, we get one, and then, you know, Brant's big hit to tie it, and then Greg with a, you know, gorgeous swing. And we held on for dear life. That's what's called holding on for dear life.
That's right, Dave. Oh, man, that night was tedious. But the job got done by Allen in the end. Indians and Red Sox go at it again tonight at 7:10 with Shane Bieber on the mound. And the Tribe's only 2.5 behind Houston and Oakland, who are now tied for the lead in the West. And I mention that because if they could move ahead of those teams, or whoever wins that West, they would have home field advantage in the division series. Browns back on the practice field today. And Josh Gordon back with the team yesterday. And will he play Thursday night, Hugh Jackson?
Oh, yeah, no. Josh is not playing this Thursday night. No, that's for sure.
All right, that is for sure. Browns-Eagles Thursday night in preseason game 3. That's usually the, quote, dress rehearsal game. More on the Browns in a moment. Ohio State ranked number 5 in the AP preseason college football poll. Bama's 1, followed by Clemson, Georgia, Wisconsin, ahead of the Buckeyes out of the Big Ten. Now, tomorrow, we could get resolution to the future of Urban Meyer, as the school will review all the information and might make a decision by the end of the day tomorrow. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100. Time for a Browns training camp report brought to you by your fantasy football destination, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. One of the major bright spots for the Browns in their last preseason game against Buffalo was their ability to run the football, led by Carlos Hyde, and wide receiver Jarvis Landry appreciates that.
You know, as a receiver, just understanding the game, you know, it has to be a great balance. You know, some games we're going to have to throw the ball, majority of the game. Some games we're going to have to run the ball, you know. But at the same time, when you got that balance and the running back is getting to the second, third level, you know, that's what you'd love to see.
And the Browns and Eagles Thursday night. That is an 8 o'clock kickoff. With your Browns update, I'm Mike Snyder.
The Zimfer file this morning. Let's go to Afghanistan. I see a couple of headlines. It's now Trump's war, not going well. In the last, hour, we've got rockets near the presidential palace. What's going on? Well, I'll tell you what, Bill. Earlier this week, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani proposed a three-month ceasefire to mark the Muslim holiday of Eid al-Adha that would go all the way through November 21st, which is the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad. I guess he got his answer today when rockets were fired at the presidential palace area during an address by Ashraf Ghani for the holiday. So I guess the Taliban has responded by saying, ceasefire? We don't think so. And this also comes 1 year to the day after President Trump announced a change in strategy in Afghanistan for the United States, with more aggressive targeting, also no timetables in effect, implementing diplomatic and economic engagement as well. As a result, a year later, we are seeing absolutely no change in the status in Afghanistan. Still about 44% of the country is said to be either contested or under insurgent control. And maybe more disturbingly, a new UN report said that the area used for poppy cultivation reached an all-time high in 2017, with opium production up by 87%.
Bill, sadly, unless you have a family member or you know of someone serving over there, I think we all go about our day and we don't think about Afghanistan, you know?
That's right. This is one thing. But you know what? The military thinks about it, Bill, because with everything going down, increases in activities reducing in Iraq and Syria and other places, the military focus is really on Afghanistan right now, but it continues to be a military stalemate.
Bill Zimfer on it this morning. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome, Bill.
People around Trump in court. We'll get to Michael Cohen. Let me first ask about Manafort. Michael Bauer with me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Jury's had this case for a while. Surprised they're still deliberating?
At this point, it kind of seems par for the course, Bill. When you're looking at, if you go historically and you look back at cases like the Oliver North case, where it took a jury 12 days to deliberate the case with 12 counts, Scooter Libby in 2007 took 10 days of deliberations in a case with 5 counts, you're looking at 18 counts for Paul Manafort, supported largely by scores of documents. And the legal insiders at this point are saying this is pretty much par for the course. This is what is expected when you're taking a look at that much information and that many counts that they have to go over here. Manafort's defense team is taking that delay of this going into a fourth day of deliberations as a good sign. But again, legal insiders say they're pretty much looking at what they feel is par for the course as far as the deliberations go.
Now, the name around Trump, Michael Cohen, this guy was his attorney for a long time. He's awaiting trial as well, right?
Yeah, and I think the next 10 days are going to be important to see what happens here. Federal prosecutors at the Southern District of New York are getting closer to filing those charges against Michael Cohen, and that's over, they said, but before the end of August. So you're looking over the next 10 to 11 days here, and that's important to kind of keep an eye on here, because that will be the time that if there is a deal to be made, if there is a way for somebody to flip, or if Michael Cohen and his lawyers feel that they may be able to flip on Trump, whether it's about hush money payments, Trump's other business transactions, or Russia on some level, and if he's got enough information to create that flip and make that happen, this is where it's going to happen.
That's a $20 million bank fraud, I guess, is what they're getting Cohen on, or at least that's what they're threatening to charge him with. Involves some loans to a taxi business or something.
Yeah, indeed. That's the direction they're going here. Plus, that also includes the orchestration of the payments to Stormy Daniels and Carrie McDougal within that as well. All of that sort of included in these charges.
Glad you're keeping this stuff straight.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
Michael Bauer. Thanks, Michael.
Have a good morning.
Just follow me on Twitter, at Terry Pluto, graduate Benedictine, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year. Morning, pal.
Hello, Mr. Will.
Let's start with them Browns. Your recent post, I see, talks about the need to see more of the running game, and I presume we just want to see Tyrod Thursday night and no Baker, you think?
Well, you're going to probably see both, I would imagine. And what I'd like to see Thursday night when they play the infamous dress rehearsal is the offense that kind of looks similar to what they're going to be doing in a regular season, which means Tyrod Thrones are receivers, and they're also going to have a power running game.
Well, the other thing, Terry, and I know Hugh was asked if Baker would see any time with the first team, and he said no, he wants Tyrod to get all the reps he can. And I'm glad to hear that, because this group is still a new group playing together. You got to be thinking about getting ready for the Steelers in game one.
Exactly, and they also are so fearful of their starting quarterback playing very much in the preseason that they don't give these guys enough work together in regular games. And so this is the one game where you actually want to play him a half. So fine, you could let him do that. And here's your problem. If your starter gets hurt, even if your backup has played only one or two sets with the first team as opposed to zero, there's still going to be a big adjustment period anyway. So I want to get my starters ready. One thing I have sensed from the beginning is a pressure for these guys to come out and get a good start early in the season. Well, to do that, you have to get your starters ready.
Absolutely. And that's something over the years, no matter who's been here, seems like the Browns have always held back, and look at their results in opening games. It's been a disaster. Certainly it was very encouraging to see the defense play the way they did the other night. They'll get a better test, though, on Thursday, won't they?
I'm sure they will. Now, if you go back and look a year ago in the preseason, the defense also was excellent. And that's why it's sometimes hard to read all those things. But I'd rather see the defense doing like they did against Buffalo, which the Buffalo starters, I believe, no first downs. You know, they were just four times they went the three and out, as opposed to they're getting beat up in the running game and so on.
Terry, let's go back to the Tribe. They had a heck of a ball game last night. Along the way, you just need to enjoy a game for the game itself. That was a great game last night, wasn't it?
Right, and I'm glad there just was a heightened intensity for the Indians, too. Not that clearly there's nothing on the line of regular season, but just to go out and say, okay, you're playing the best team in baseball right now. Let's see what you got. And you're going into Fenway Park, which is, if you've never seen a big game there, it's a remarkable atmosphere. And it can be intimidating for the visiting team. And the Indians did hang on and win. And Cody Allen did get the save. And Corey Kluber did pull himself together after giving up those three runs early in the game. And we all knew that you'll be riding the bats of Melky Cabrera and Greg Allen.
Absolutely. And bottom line is they won. I mean, people on Facebook ripping Cody Allen for being overrated, but they win 5-4. That's the bottom line. And as you say, it's a nice middle August test at Boston for these guys.
Remember, that's about a closer. It's pass fail. It's not like, well, that's a B-plus save or a C-minus or an A-plus. It's either you got an A or an F.
Yeah, Scooter, did you hear that? Because he's ripping on him too.
Scooter's that way.
Yeah, Shane Bieber. Hey guys, it's kind of nice watching this guy too tonight, right?
Yes, and that will be interesting in Fenway to see Bieber go at it with the Red Sox there, because especially you get a couple guys on base and suddenly feels like that left field wall is right over your right shoulder and those fans are peeking, almost whispering into your ear like, you're going to give up one.
Get you out of here on Urban Meyer. You got any take? You think a suspension, couple games?
Yes, that's probably what it was, because it seems like the longer that case came out, the more convoluted it got, other than something really was bad going on in that marriage.
I think you're right. All right, Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter at Terry Pluto. Thanks, Terry.
You're welcome.
On Tech and Your Printer, Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad, joins me on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Hi, Derek.
Morning, Bill.
I say printer, it should be the ink we talk about. I think they ought to give you the printer, because it seems like they make the money off the ink.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially this time of year, back to school. For most parents, that means your kids are going to be, printing out pages and pages of homework and book reports. And really the last thing you want to hear late at night is, you know, mom, dad, we're out of ink. So really one thing I absolutely recommend for parents to consider, or even really anybody who does a lot of printing, Best Buy right now does have a wide selection of inexpensive black and white laser printers for less than $100.
Mm-hmm.
You can even find colored laser printers for home use for as cheap as $200. Again, these are really great as a secondary printer. You're still will probably look for an inkjet printer to produce those rich, detailed graphics or more high-end text documents. But laser printers are really workhorses built to print large volumes quickly and at a low cost per page. Kind of like copy machines, they use a toner, so it's a powder rather than ink. So what that means is that it's not going to dry out over time, and you're usually going to get a large amount of volume of printing from that single toner cartridge.
Good reminder, and I'm guilty as charged when I go and replace a printer. I just grabbed the one I had before, maybe the whatever the newest version was. But we finally went to the laser this last time. I really like it. I it does a nice job, at least. And I'm just doing stuff at home where I'm just printing, show prepping things.
Yeah, and that's exactly. These are perfect for the text documents, even some your basic monochrome images. If you're printing out tickets, for airlines or for shows, are great for that as well. The other nice thing about them is that not only can they do that large amount of printing at very low cost, they also tend to be a lot quicker because that toner is a dry powder. You don't have to wait for the page to dry. It's less likely to smudge when it comes out, and generally a lot quicker. And it's great because you do have a wide range of options. We carry those inexpensive laser printers from HP, Brother, Canon, and others. You can even get those in the all-in-one versions where it does have the scanner built into it. So there's just a lot of really great options. And if you're not quite sure which you want to look for, if you're looking for things like photo printers and other more specific types of printers, just visit BestBuy.com in the search. Go ahead and just put in printer buying guide. We have information about all the different types of printers, as well as all the options for ink and toner for those printers.
Yeah, I clicked on that link to the buyer guide. Thank you. That's some good info. Follow Agent Derek Meister on Twitter, Agent3012. You can see the link, and he'll post more of the info. If indeed it's time to replace a printer, you know, one getting ready to die on you, do a little research and get the best possible one for the need you have. Agent Derek Meister, the geek at the Geek Squad on it. Derek, thanks, pal.
Thank you.
They do, and that was the goal for Republicans, and interestingly enough, it may be for Democrats, too, because Democrats don't necessarily want this to be a big national story. They want to take their hit, satisfy their base, but they've got a lot of red state Democrats up, and they don't want those Democrats to go home to states that Trump won by 20 or 30 points with a big stain on their record.
You normally look at things to help raise money. I don't see a lot of Kavanaugh push on the Democrats' side, though, as far as we hate Kavanaugh right now.
And that's the most interesting thing happening here. Ordinarily, we would have seen a multi-million-dollar Democratic advertising campaign say, Judge Kavanaugh, he eats children, he hates senior citizens, he's anti-woman. Where is that campaign? It doesn't exist because the Democrats are trying to just kind of slip quietly through this this confirmation process. Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota, perfect example. That's a state Trump won by 36 points. Do you think she wants to make this a big issue, whichever way she goes?
So they don't want to be seen as being obstructionist and blocking this Kavanaugh then, because it's just not that big a deal.
It's not that big a deal, and they don't want their base to think it's a big deal.
Gotcha.
Because the base wants them. So they're stuck between the proverbial rock and hard place. Move along, nothing to see here.
So if I see, you're not going to see Schumer every morning on the Today Show and Good Morning America just talking about how bad this guy, because he, as you say, he wants it to kind of go away. Get him on the court, let's move on to something else.
He knows he's going to lose. He's got to satisfy his base. He'll do the minimum required. He'll bang old Kavanaugh a few times and then talk about the next Trump tweet.
Good take. Alex Castellanos. Thanks, pal.
Good to be with you.
Now, and Jim Rosenhaus joins us, brought to you by Falls Motor City in Boston with the Tribe. Morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill.
You know, we have a little pre-show meeting about 4 a.m. Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire, goes through all the topics and things we'll be covering on the show, right?
How did I miss those when I filled in this winter?
Well, we'll remind you. Don't worry. But we're in the meeting this morning. I thought the Indians lost when he talked about the game 5-4. All I heard about was Cody. And, of course, they win 5-4.
Hey, look, sometimes for a closer, it's just about getting the job done in the end. And he did. And some of the great closers in history have had a penchant for putting runners on base and making it exciting and driving Earl Weaver to go through a full pack of cigarettes back in the runway, things like that. And that was one of those nights last night. But he made the pitches when he had to, when it looked like the Red Sox were not only going to tie it but walk it off in the night. And he got the job done. And really, that's all that matters. You know, has he put on more base runners this season than in years past? Yes. And will that impact things down the stretch? Maybe. Indians have some options there, but there's something to be said for a pitcher who I think it's 3 blown saves all year, if that. And that counts for something. He's been there before. He knows how to get it done. And he did get it done last night, albeit walking the tightrope.
Well, I think Terry Pluto said it best with us earlier. When you're the closer, it's pass, fail. And that's it. And he did get it done. Jim, talk a little bit about the atmosphere there, because we're back here and what he's under, that crowd, all of it there is on the line. It is incredible. I know even Tito talked about it after the game.
Really, really good. And similar to a playoff situation where as the Red Sox were building their rally in the ninth inning, everyone was on their feet at the ballpark and nobody had left. And we have talked to some some Red Sox folks before the game, and they said seventh inning, people are out of there because some of the games are so long. And it's almost as if they're spoiled by what the team has done. They just figure, hey, that's a winning game. We're out of here. And but last night, everybody stayed, and they were on their feet. And that was as difficult a situation for Allen as he's been in all year. And he got it done. In the end, he got it done, and that's the most important thing.
Well, speaking of the guys named Allen, how about Greg Allen? What a story he's become, Jim.
You know, Mike, all month we've been talking about who are the Indians looking at to try and acquire during this waiver trade period, and different names pop up, it seems like, every day. And as you talk about those names, meanwhile, Greg Allen is going out and hitting in 13 straight and coming up with big hits, and none bigger than the home run that put them in front last night. So he's really done a nice job, made a great catch in center field too. So look, he's a young kid with good talent, and they've liked him, and his development has probably been speeded up because of the injury situation. And every time he's come back, there's been five different times he's joined this ball club from AAA Columbus. Each time he's come back, he's been a little bit better and learned a little bit more, and we're seeing that now down the stretch.
Great point. Looking at adding somebody, just look down the dugout, find Greg Allen, put him out there. Yeah, all right. Jim Rosenhaus, game two tonight. Shane Bieber on the mound. First pitch tonight again, 7:10 from Boston. Gagliotto.com, Tribe Insider with Nick Camino, 6 o'clock on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Thanks, Rosie.
Thanks, Bill.